God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you again today on the subject of the two selves. And some of you may feel very put down and thinking, oh dear, I am so pitiful and so unsuccessful and so wicked and so awful, and all Elizabeth Elliott has done is make me feel worse. What I want to do, of course, is not to make you feel worse, but to encourage all of us to be honest. And you know, humility is nothing more than plain honesty. And to be willing to look at ourselves in the searchlight of God's Word. In Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, we find the antidote to the poison of self-esteem. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's that self that God wants to make of you and me, a true man and a true woman. And I would like to pray for you right now. Father, you know each person that is listening to this program. You know those who have been angered, those who have been helped, those who have been bewildered. I pray for all of them, Lord. I pray that every one of us may be willing to be shown what that new self is meant to be in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be willing to put off the old self, to leave it behind, to reject, renounce, and forget it. And help us, Lord, to offer ourselves totally, unconditionally, gladly, and irrevocably to you. Give us the light of your word. Give us, Lord, the deep, intimate teaching of your Holy Spirit in each of our hearts. I pray this for your glory in Jesus' name. St. Augustine said, two cities have been formed by two loves, the earthly by the love of self, even to the contempt of God, the heavenly by the love of God, even to the contempt of self. I think that quotation from St. Augustine is worth reading again. Two cities have been formed by two loves, the earthly by the love of self, even to the contempt of God, the heavenly by the love of God, even to the contempt of self. Now, you and I are now living in two worlds. That is, if Christ lives in us. I'm an amphibian. I'm living in two worlds. But each world is transformed by the power of the living Christ in me. The mystery has now been revealed to us through the Scriptures. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul said that that mystery had been kept for ages, but had now been revealed, had been given to him to reveal. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wouldn't it be better to concentrate on that than on our self-image? Who of us would not, in all honesty, admit that when we get a compliment, our self-image soars? When we get criticism, our self-image plunges. But neither may be true, you know. The compliment may not be an honest one, and the criticism may not be an honest one. How do we know? Let's take every criticism as our opportunity to ask God to show us whether it's true. And if the compliment that we receive we think is true, or that we really deserved it, who really deserves it? Give it to God. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. People give me compliments often, what am I supposed to do with them? Improve my self-image? No, I say, thank you, Lord. It's yours. Deliver me from pride. Deliver me from ever imagining that I could do what I do without your help. You know, I couldn't even take the next breath without God's mercy. So the mystery has been revealed that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And never a day goes by without some fresh revelation of his power and some new appreciation of my helplessness without that power. Of course, we forget. We think, I did that. I managed that. I deserved that compliment. Or I deserved a compliment I didn't receive. And then what happens? We get pretty angry about that, don't we? Bitter, resentful. But the Lord gives me a new understanding daily of my utter dependence upon him. It's his power, it's his life in me that makes the difference. My nature, my old self, and here I have to be honest with you, I have to confess that my old self is argumentative, defensive. I want to be right. Do you know anybody that wants to be wrong? I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be right, but some of us are a little bit more insistent on it than others. I like to win. I like to vindicate myself. Well, the other day, my husband was painting the house, and he asked me to hold the ladder. You know what I said? Why? Now, I shouldn't have said why. I should have just held the ladder. Well, I did hold the ladder, but I always want to know why, and that is very irritating to Lars, and I can understand why when I look at it in perspective. What difference does it make why I have to hold the ladder? I wanted to say to him, but it's not going to slide anyhow. And he said, look, would you just stand there and hold it for me for a minute? Well, he wasn't asking me to hold it every minute while he was painting, but just while he was moving from one ladder to another. He had a board across two ladders, and so it was a little bit precarious, and he asked me to hold it. But I thought to myself, because I happened to be preparing this talk on that particular day, this is God's revelation to me. Don't ask so many questions. Don't do things which are irritating. Help me, Lord, I said, against myself for you. In C.S. Lewis's anthology of George MacDonald, and any of you who have been listening to me know that I quote both C.S. Lewis and George MacDonald quite often. And if you want a wonderful little anthology, which is full of short bits that C.S. Lewis culled from George MacDonald's works, there is such a thing, and I do believe it's still in print, C.S. Lewis's anthology of George MacDonald. And this is what he says, MacDonald says, but does a man owe nothing to himself? Nothing that I know of. I am under no obligation to myself. How can I divide myself and say that the one half of me is indebted to the other? To my mind, it's a mere fiction of speech. But whence, then, should such a fiction arise? From the dim sense of a real obligation, I suspect, the object of which is mistaken. I suspect it really springs from our relation to the unknown God, so vaguely felt that a false form is readily accepted for its embodiment. And here I think that what George MacDonald is revealing to us is that very often that self to which we think we owe something is meant to be God. And so, do you see the evil of the lie when we are putting self in the place of God? We do have obligations to God, plenty of them. We have no obligations to ourself. And yet how often we hear people say, oh, but you owe it to yourself to do so and so. No, I owe nothing to myself, everything to God. Stepping Heavenward. It was written more than 100 years ago by Elizabeth Prentice, and it's the diary of a young woman starting at the age of 16, taking her through one love affair that didn't work out, then her engagement, then her marriage, her motherhood, through all sorts of trials and tribulations. And the reason that I'm going to be using this book is because it is a beautiful revelation of one very honest and very earnest young woman who really wanted to be conformed to the image of Christ. And daily, she had choices to make which pointed out the difference between the old self and the new self. And the edition that I'm recommending, it has a foreword by Elizabeth Elliot. And I thought I'd read you this foreword. This charming journal of a 19th century girl takes us from her 16th birthday, "How dreadfully old I am getting," she said on that day, to her last entries when she was ill and in her 40s, aware that she had very little time left. It's a story of the shaping of a soul, of her learning day by day in the seemingly insignificant little events of an ordinary life, that deep happiness is found not in seeking fulfillment for oneself, but in a glad and free self-offering for the sake of others. We follow her maturing to womanhood. We learn of her narrow escape from commitment to the wrong man and of her engagement and marriage to the right one. But there was not as much honey on the honeymoon as her dreams predicted. She had had no practice in giving up her own preferences in day-to-day relationship with a man. She says to herself at one point in her journal, "I should like to know if there's any reason on earth why a woman should learn self-forgetfulness that does not apply to a man." Does that whet your appetite? The book is Stepping Heavenward.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.